Last time I spoke, if you're not familiar, we have different elders speak from the different house churches. And the last time I spoke was Psalm 23, and I just did verses 1 through 3. I'm actually going to look at verses 4 to the end of the chapter, which isn't much, but we'll see that together. Okay, so Lord, would you speak to us in Jesus' name? I'll read Psalm 23. I'm just going to read the psalm, and we could even say it together probably. But if you want to turn to it, it's on page 458 in these blue ESVs. Unless you have a big print, then it's going to be a bit of a different page. But Psalm 23. Psalms is right in the middle of the Bible, if you're not familiar with the Bible. And then you just open up in the middle, you'll find it pretty fast. Psalm 23. If you want to say it with me, you can. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to make reference also to Hebrews 2, but I would keep you could put a piece of paper like I'm doing in Hebrews 2, a real quick verse in there, but I'll read that later. You knew that one. Now, that was dear to Dad, too. I would read that to him, because a lot of times when you have dementia, you forget a lot of things. But those verses that go way back in your memory, they stick with you. And Dad remembered that one. He would often say amen after I would read it. I didn't even know if he always knew who I was, Mom. But I think you think he did, and that's good. So, but that kind of stuff sticks with us, especially when you memorize. It gets back in the memory a long ways. I want to look at overcoming the fear of death. It's kind of a heavy one compared to last time, I know, but overcoming the fear of death. As I look at this passage, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And something we're learning in science is that we have something called the limbic system in the brain. And have you guys heard of fight or flight? Okay, so when you're in a situation where you feel you're unsafe, a lot of the energy in your brain goes to the back and the middle, and it's called your survival brain. And they can actually watch this happen as they hook people up to these gadgets. And they can see all the movement, all the action is happening there in the survival brain. The rational brain in the front lobes is completely inactive when you're in survival mode. When you're in crisis mode. I don't know if you know what that's like. Some of you would say, I'm there all the time. And some would say, I don't fully know what you mean, but I may have had an experience like that. But it's kind of, what happens is it goes beyond your rational mind. It goes into more of a primal place. And that's why we say, you're either going to fight, or you're going to flee, or you're going to freeze, is another one. And you'll come upon situations, and even a lot of times adults will come upon situations where they don't understand why, but all of a sudden they'll either get really upset and start moving in on someone and fighting, or they'll move away in every way they can if there's an argument. Now, in marriages, what's really tough is when two people have two different methods of dealing with conflict. If one person feels safe by fighting, and the other person feels safe by fleeing, that's not a good combination. And the two have to kind of figure out, I need to give that person time to go to their room and take a little time, but they have to come out and work it out with me at some point. Maybe some of you have experienced that, but a lot of times marriages, opposites attract, and a lot of times it comes out in that way. Those are some examples. Maybe you come into a time yourself, whether you're married or not, where you've just had that, where you've just felt like you got to fight if you're going to be safe, or you got to flee, or you just all of a sudden become numb and you don't know what to say and you don't know what to do and you freeze. It's probably something happened somewhere along the way, and a memory was locked into that survival brain that said, this is an unsafe situation. And we come into situations like that, a lot of times when conflict comes up, we come into situations like that. And I want to wonder with you, I want to ask with you, because this text and the text in Hebrews refers to that fear of death. And I want to ask this question, is it possible that that's the mother of all fears? Is it possible that something in us has this instinctual fear of death? And that all of our fears really come back to that one single fear. And we face the shadow of it many times in our lives. Even though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And we do end up going through valleys. And those are those experiences that stick with us. And we go, oh boy, this is unsafe. And that's a shadow of death. You didn't actually die, but it sure felt like you were going to die for whatever reason. And it can be really strange, too, for some folks. But in those valleys, we're tempted to question the goodness of God. In those times where we're afraid, we're tempted to question the goodness of God. And we don't feel safe. But the fact is, as we looked at in this psalm, He is our shepherd. He is in control, and He has a reason why He has allowed us to come into this place, and even maybe led us into this place. That's a valley. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd's View of the 23rd Psalm, writes that shepherds at certain seasons lead their sheep through valleys into mountains, and down from mountains through valleys to get them to good pasture. So that's the purpose when you go through a valley that God has for you as your good shepherd. He's moving you toward good pasture. And that's what shepherds do. And I remember going through that when I shepherded in Zuni too, in New Mexico. We don't understand what our good shepherd is doing, and then we end up falling into unhealthy forms of fear. Does that make sense? And ultimately, I think all those fears come down to that one fear of death. That is, of loss, of eternal death, of punishment, of pain, a loss of control. But all boiling down to that fear of death of some kind. And a lot of them, as we say, are shadows that make us afraid. If a doctor tells someone, we need to test you for cancer, there's something that happens. Generally, in the human mind, something happens. And it puts us in a state where we feel out of control, there's a fear of the unknown, and we fear that big C word. But there's a greater C word than cancer, and that's Christ. And His name is above every name that can be named. So He is bigger than cancer, and He will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. I know when my mom went through that, we went through that too. I'm sorry, Mom, if I am pointing out you too much tonight. On a smaller level, though, we get triggered by things that are seemingly harmless. I've met people who have a fear of water. And what may have happened is they went into a swimming pool. Maybe a parent or somebody when they were really young made fun of them while they were in the pool. And they feel like anytime they're around water, they feel rejection. They feel a lack of acceptance. And they can't explain it, but they just have this irrational fear of water. You ever heard of things like that? That's that same thing that happens in the brain. And some of those things we're embarrassed to share, or people have been embarrassed to share. So there's this continuum where there's big things we become afraid of, and there's also little things that we become afraid of. And I want to say God gave us a limbic system for a good reason. There's a healthy form of fear. If you are going down the road and you see a child is about to be hit by a car, your limbic system will kick in, the adrenaline will pump, and you will try to rescue that child, right? Amen. Because you have a healthy form of, oh, this is unsafe. I need to do something. That's why you have it. That's why you have a limbic system. That's a healthy form of fear. There's another healthy form of fear. It's called the fear of God. The fear of God. And there's something about, and my boys have this. I've probably used this before as an example, but there's something when kids go to a monster truck rally where they're afraid of the trucks, but they also really have this kind of huge, like, wow, that's a monster truck. Okay, that's the kind of fear of God that I'm talking about. Now, that's maybe not the best example, but you both, at one point, you have this extreme admiration, but you also have this, like, wow, I'm afraid. And that's a good form of fear. Reverence, but they could have used that word in Greek or Hebrew, but they used the word fear. And we can try to skirt around that in modern times and say, well, but the word is fear. But what I'm trying to say is there's a healthy form of fear where we say, God is big. God's got my life. He is the one that can either throw a soul into hell or bring them to heaven. That isn't bad to acknowledge. And to see, because you have the sense that he's got the control, not me, but you also have the sense that he is loving and good. And that together, having those two realities together, is actually getting to know God for who he really is. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The end of wisdom is that perfect love casts out all fear. And you need to know both if you're really going to get to know God. But we can get addicted, actually, to the sensation of fear. That's why people go on these wild and crazy trips where they, like, go on canyons with no ropes, and they're like, oh, I could die. Or they go to Disney World, and they're, like, on these rides, and it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I go on these rides with my kids, and I wonder, like, the fair's coming up, and I wonder, what are we doing? This is horrible. Like, we're putting ourselves through this terrible terror feeling. And why are we doing this? Because it's a rush. So people can actually get addicted to this feeling of fear and this adrenaline pumping. Did you know that? I know with anxiety disorder, I actually got somewhat addicted to the panic attacks. And God had to help me through. That sounds kind of weird, but God had to help me through. I don't need to go here. Jesus has got me. It's going to be okay. But there can be a healthy form of fear and an unhealthy form of fear. But we want to learn how to have a healthy fear of God so that we overcome all fear of death and we're no longer enslaved to the fear of death. Would you, if you want to, I'm just going to read Hebrews 2 and verses 14 to 18. Hear this. It's on page 1002 if you want to see it. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it's not angels that the Lord helps, but he helps the offspring of David. Of Abraham, sorry. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he's able to help those who are tempted. But listen to that. I want to key in on that one. He is overcome. He has set us free from slavery to the fear of death. Did you catch that? He has helped us overcome the fear of death. And I want to suggest this is where a lot of our control issues come from as well. We go into fight, flight, or freeze because we want to have charge. We want to have control. We either need to flee to be safe or fight to be safe or freeze. But we do what we can to try to have control. And as you learn to overcome the fear of death, you start to let go of control, and you give that control to God because he's the one that takes you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you don't need to fear evil because he's got you. He's your shepherd. And this is how we're learning to overcome the fear of death in the midst of trial. Look back at Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is also why we have a lot of our coping mechanisms that we go to. Some of those would be drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality. You can have things like judgment. When a person judges another person, they can get a kind of high off that. Did you know that? I've actually seen it in the brain with people when they've studied it. They get a rush out of judging someone else, and they can get addicted to it. Busyness, dominance, anger, ministry, the list goes on. Who will save us from this body of death? We asked that question. I've been really helped by a book by Michael Dye called, The Genesis Process. And he asked that question, why do we do the thing we don't want to do? And that's a question from Romans 7. Why do we do the thing we don't want to do? And he asked the Lord that, and he went on a journey of trying to help people through that process. Sin is ultimately the answer. And we go to sin because we're afraid. That's what it was in the beginning in Genesis. That's still how it is now. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Where do you go for comfort? Where do you go to comfort yourself? And this is, it is the Lord that will comfort us with his staff, with his rod, with his discipline. He cares for us, and with his tender hand. So there are ways in which we can do that practically. We can put ourselves in a place where we can be comforted by the Lord. As you read the Word, as you read the Psalms, you can be comforted by the Lord. As you sing praise, you can be comforted by the Lord. As you pray, as you serve, as you do various things, ways in which you connect with the Lord, you can be comforted by the Lord himself. But ways, tangible ways in which we're connecting with the Lord will be healthy ways to be comforted by him, rather than trying to seek comfort from other things, which is what we tend to do as human beings. Did you know that? He is our comfort. And then it goes on with verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. In the midst of your enemies, while they surround you, those fears, devils, maybe sickening people in your life, who is that person for you? The struggles. It says the Lord sets a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So in the midst of the trial, in the midst of going through the thing that makes you feel unsafe, the Lord sets a table before you. In the presence of your enemies. And that's a beautiful picture. While you're going through the trial, he does it to make you stronger in him, to make you, as it were, invincible in Christ. That's why our brothers and sisters in North Korea and in various places who are in prison for the gospel can rejoice because they've overcome. They're looking to the Lord, and even if they're going through great trial, they know he's setting a table before them. They know they have his favor. They know they have his blessing. They know he is their comfort. He is their God in the midst of that trial. We can learn from that too, amen? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And this fearless overflow will follow us into eternity. That's my last point from this text, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Now, here's the thing. Fear might come. Because you have a feeling of fear doesn't mean you don't have courage. Have you heard that? Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is going on with the thing God's called you to do, even though you are afraid, but you're not enslaved to the fear. You see the difference? You're not enslaved to the fear of death. It comes, you'll have the feeling, but we don't go by feelings. We go by faith in him. We go by him, and we go forward, and we learn. And he gives us courage by his grace. And if you feel you don't have that, ask. Because he promises that. Ask him for his promise. You say, I don't have to fear evil. Help me, Lord. Help me not to fear evil. Give me courage. And then go forward in that which he gives you. And he'll lead you to safe pasture. His ultimate goal will be to take you into that safe pasture forever. That's where my dad is right now. And how do we get there? Just a couple thoughts. Don't wait around for a feeling. Don't wait around to feel good and then you'll be unafraid, okay? One of the things that we may need to do is repent and just say, I own the fact that I'm afraid. God, help me. Forgive me. Help me to go forward. Now, for those of us with like disorders, like anxiety disorder, it can be a little tough. Because you have a disorder, a chemical imbalance, and God will lead you through that. You know, God has people who can help professionally in those areas. But even for us who struggle with those things, we still have to own it. We can't just be a victim and say, well, you know, I have a disorder, I can't help. We have to say, you know what? God is still with me. I'm still going to look to him. He is my help. And I don't need to be afraid. And another thing, we need community. When you have a fear like that, or you have something, James says, confess your sins to each other. Paul says, by the Spirit, bring your stuff into the light, that it may become light. There's time for telling someone, telling people in your community, I'm struggling with this. I need you to pray for me. That's another way to overcome fear in whatever way, and sin in whatever way. And then finally, ask. And I've said that before, ask. Well, ultimately, if we ask ourselves, what ultimately do I think is going to happen? God's got it. Ask for his help. And I want to end with this, because he's the one that will, whose goodness and mercy will follow hard after us, is what that Hebrew phrase looks like. He will come after us with his grace. All the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's got it. This life doesn't last that long, does it? It goes by pretty fast, doesn't it? Some of you who are older can attest to that. Bam. And then there's going to be this forever thing. So live in that bigger picture reality that he's got it. It's going to be okay. Jesus, as he comes to the garden, do you remember? He got on his knees and he sweated blood. He was so afraid. You don't think he knows what this is like? He knows. A lot of times we make him so divine, and he is so divine, but we forget that he was human, and he is human. And he went through fear, unbelievable fear that you and I probably don't even understand, where he sweated blood as he was coming before his father and he was asking. And if you read on in Hebrews, it says that he cried out to the father to save him from death. All the time he groaned and cried out to the father. This is the Son of God who cried out to his father. And ultimately he faced death and he faced fear head on for us and went to the cross and rose from death, because that goodness and that mercy come after us with grace and ultimately have us in his hands. So don't be afraid with me. I'm struggling with fear a little bit lately. After Dad, I saw Dad pass, I told Mom that, and I've had some stuff come back, and I've had to go, okay, Lord, here it is. I bring it to you. Maybe some of you relate to that. But we don't have to be afraid. Amen? Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you that you took our fears, that you took our sorrows, our sicknesses, and ultimately our sin on yourself. And thank you that you've forgiven us all our sin. And we don't have to be enslaved to the fear of death anymore. We can have courage in Christ Jesus to move forward. Help us to find ways to connect with you and therefore also with others and encourage each other daily to not be afraid, but go forward in the courage of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this night. Thank you for your people here. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for the food we're about to eat in the name of Jesus. Amen.